This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the Ram Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation.
Welcome to part two of What is Nonviolence? The questions posed to adult experts in this episode were designed by high school students as part of their work in two youth-led advocacy programs, Fearless Writers and Ram Empowerment Project. Today, we will be talking with Chitrandran Greer Travis, a doctoral student and adjunct philosophy instructor at the University of Toledo. We will also hear from members of Rhythm and Rhyme, a student-created poetry club at Rogers High School, as well as members of Fearless Writers. This group will be answering questions and sharing short written pieces inspired by the Six Principles of Nonviolence by Martin Luther King Jr. My name is Tina DeBoard, and I'm a library media specialist at Rogers High School and an adult member of Fearless Writers and Ram Empowerment Project.
Quick introduction. My name is Chitrandran Greer Travis. I'm a doctoral student at the University of Toledo, and I am also an adjunct philosophy instructor, and I have a certificate in peace education from the University of Toledo, hopefully soon finishing my PhD. What is your experience with nonviolence? So I was a Detroit police officer for a little over 4 years. And I grew up on the east side of Detroit, and I experienced quite a bit of violence, early childhood growing up. And it got to the point where I experienced it so much that I saw, hey, you know, there's something going on here that is really confusing. So during the pandemic, I had an opportunity to actually be still and to read quite a few books. And I remember reading a book by Ben Crump called Open Season. And I started thinking about my path in life. And I did a little bit of self-reflection. And I began to practice meditation at a place called Still Point in Detroit. And that got me on a spiritual path. And I said, you know what? I think I want to go back to graduate school. So I did that. And I just whimsically applied to the University of Toledo, Judith Herb School of Education and the Social Foundations of Education program. And it was the right program. So my experience with nonviolence is seeing a lot of violence and saying, I don't want to do that anymore. In what ways is nonviolence a way of life? Well, first I want to talk about Martin Luther King's book, Stride Toward Freedom, which was written in 58. He speaks of this courageous confrontation of evil by the power of love. And that's a direct quote from King. So when you've experienced violence and injustice enough firsthand, eventually you vow to study war no more. So for philosophical and spiritual reasons, I'm making a commitment to a life that does no harm, seeks truth, and speaks the truth, and teaching the truth.
Hello, my name is Papai Holloway. I go to Rogers High School, and my poem is based off of Principle 1. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. It is active nonviolence, resistance to evil. It is aggressive spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. My poem title is Am I Enough? I'm sorry if I'm doing too much, or maybe I'm doing too little. I'm sorry for being aggressive or too friendly. I constantly think to myself, am I good enough? I'm sorry for not being feminine, I'll work on it. I look to others for validation, but I still don't feel satisfied. I crave the acceptance of ones I see are beautiful, smart, and soft-spoken. I want to change myself. I want to be like the girl with the purple sweater. She's a perfect example of being feminine. I bet you'll like her. I mean, who wouldn't?
Why does it take courage to be nonviolent? So when you grow up in an environment that is structurally seems to reinforce violence as a way of living, human expression and survival, it takes great courage to take a step back, to be still, to look in the mirror, be still and respond with compassion. Nonviolence is not passive necessarily, it's assertive spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. That supreme love, which is the essence of all that is, the stiller you become, the more you see that. And you also see that love is a greater force than hate. So it takes great courage to do that. It takes great courage to look within. It's been written than it is for a soldier to be on the battlefield. In what ways can students in Toledo win friendship and understanding? One of the best ways that you can win friendship is to live authentically and to be a friend to yourself. It's an inside-out kind of practice. So I think you can win friendship by, to have a friend, you have to be a friend. So friendship is one of those critical elements to what it means for us to be human. And having noble friends is what helps you to grow. So surround yourself with people who are on the path that you were where you would like to be.
Hello, my name is Hadar Al-Hajri, and I'm writing about Principle 2. I'm from Rogers High School. Principle 2 states that nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. The result of nonviolence is redemption and reconciliation. The purpose of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community. I wrote, understanding one's trauma serves purpose to transform others' point of view. One's trauma isn't their own burden, but the community as if one struggles, the rest will struggle. If one is sunken, others will too. If others suffer, others will too. This lesson can show and teach how to love your neighbors, as those neighbors in turn can love the community back. So be a good neighbor, be educated on suffering and trauma so you know how to love. Love your flaws so you can love others. Take care of your neighbors so in turn they can take care of you. Be a good person and start a cycle of love and not a cycle of trauma and hate.
What is meant by Martin Luther King Jr.'s beloved community? How do you see Toledo fitting into that vision? This is a wonderful question. They've all been wonderful questions. Thank you for these. So the belief that all living things share the same essential nature or have the same essential nature is essentially Martin Luther King's beloved community. So the beloved community also relates to Immanuel Kant's Kingdom of Ends. He wrote about this in a work called The Groundwork for the Metaphysics of Morals. Also, Martin Luther King was inspired by philosopher Josiah Royce, and he originated the idea in 1913 in which he writes, quote, my life means nothing, either theoretically or practically, unless I am a member of a community, end quote. So this is also similar to the Zulu concept that we call Ubuntu. And a good definition of that is essentially, I am because we are. I am because we are, or I am because you are. The African the Journal of Social Work also defines Ubuntu as, quote, a collection of values and practices of people of Africa or African origin. They view it as making people authentic human beings, While the nuances of these values and practices vary across different ethnic groups, they all point to one thing: an authentic individual human being is part of a larger and more significant relational, communal, and societal, environmental, and spiritual world, end quote. So I think Toledo fits into this vision by promoting peace education in the school system, namely K through 12 and beyond. Injustice is not people. What does this mean? People can do problematic things to survive, but does that not warrant them being treated without kindness? Can you explain this further? So in my view, hurt people hurt people. You've probably heard this before. Frantz Fanon, another philosopher, he talks about the psychological trauma that peoples of color, or colonized people, have experienced throughout a lifetime of injustice, poverty, and mental health disparities in this book called The Wretched of the Earth. But ultimately, if I can summarize, it's the idea that the systemic injustice goes beyond individual actions. It considers the source of the problem. In many cases, the source are policies and laws that sustain the status quo. So systems that disenfranchise democracy, for instance. If you have an area that is low poverty, you're going to see a lot of violence. Now, can we hold the people morally responsibility for that? In some cases, yes, but we have to take a deeper look. So wrongdoers are also victims, I want to bring to your attention, given Martin Luther King's principles of nonviolent resistance. So the actors or the perpetrators, the people who write the unjust laws, are also victims, and we have to have compassion towards those individuals as well.
Hi, I'm Charity Murphy from Rogers High School. I'm a senior. Principal Forrest states, nonviolence holds that suffering can educate and transform. Nonviolence accepts suffering without retaliation. Unearned suffering is redemptive and tremendous educational and transforming possibilities. Principle 4 to me means nonviolence turns pain and suffering into lessons that help educate people and transform you, and then that you accept the hardship without bringing anyone else down.
Suffering is an unfortunate reality of life. We learn from suffering in what ways? Why is retaliation by nonviolence movements? So why is retaliation discouraged by nonviolence movements? Great question. Abolitionist and freedom fighter Frederick Douglass said it best: if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Suffering in many ways puts us on the path to alleviate suffering for ourselves and others. And this is a philosophical concept called teleology. And Cultivating Virtue, Aristotle writes about this in a book called The Nicomachean Ethics. So suffering, in many ways, as I've mentioned, puts us on the path to alleviate suffering for ourselves and others. Our ultimate aim is reconciliation, again, for self and others, to atone for what we've done, and ultimately to help others to have reconciliation. There are six steps in nonviolence that Martin Luther King proposes in his nonviolent resistance. He talks about, first, gather information; next, educate ourselves; three, remain committed; four, peacefully negotiate; five, take action peacefully; and then finally, reconciliation.
Hi, my name is Sire Bell, and I am a sophomore at Rogers High School.
And I am Amani Massingale, and I am also a sophomore at Rogers High School.
The principle that inspired us is Principle 5. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate.
Nonviolence resists violence of the spirit as well as the body.
Nonviolent love is spontaneous,
unmotivated,
unselfish,
and creative.
Here's our response.
Nonviolence.
A love unhindered by the chains of hate.
Like a rose unwithered by the burns of a ray.
A love unscathed by the selfishness of a human.
Like a child.
as it grows slowly pulled out of confusion.
Love versus hate.
Why choose the hate? That feeling of hurt, violence.
Why even find the key to open up that gate?
Fight fire with fire?
Oh please, that saying's weak.
Let the love rain down and find the peace that you seek.
Love versus hate. Enjoy life.
Enjoy love.
Enjoy feeling like you're above.
Stop the hate. You don't want it to conquer your life. So please stop it before it's too late.
Choosing love instead of hate can be challenging. How can people face this challenge successfully? And what are the benefits of choosing to love instead of hate? It can be challenging at first, but the more you practice intentionally, the easier it gets to love others and yourself. And again, it takes practice. It takes a committed daily practice of love. The more you practice, the more it grows. So the benefit of choosing love is you don't suffer as much, and you help others to not suffer as much, and you genuinely want what is best for others. And on top of that, you become wiser. So that compassion helps the wisdom to grow also. How do you keep the faith that justice will prevail? So I would say by bearing witness to the joy within me. You know, in the time where we're living, where it seems like the world is on fire, to write poetry, to create art, to continue to grow as a human being and better yourself. I believe Gandhi said that we have to be the change that we want to see in the world and be the change. And part of being the change is showing other people through your own actions and through your own life. Someone said, you know, you can live a better sermon than preaching one any day. So bearing witness to the joy that is within you, playing music, writing poetry, doing everything that you can with your whole heart, even when it seems like violence is going on around us, seeing the good in others. The arc of the universe is indeed long, yet it is still aimed at justice. It always has been, it always will be. Even when the world is on fire, when has the world ever not been on fire?
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to Chitranjan Greer Travis, students from Rogers High School, and Heather Cleary for their assistance with this episode. Please join us for Episode 9, Trauma and Healing Part 2, where we have a discussion with Michael Mims and high school students about the impact of trauma and ways to begin healing. I am Tina DeBoard, and you have been listening to No More Silence.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.